Well, I'm Zach Tepperman. This is number 0142, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hi there, ho there. Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0142. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, you'll hear from comic Judy Tenuta, who is the author of a book called Full Frontal Tenudity. Of course, she's known for playing the accordion. Does she ever go anywhere without it?
For a while. It was gone because it was left at the Betty Ford Clinic so that Chevy Chase could, you know, enjoy it for a while. And I think Robert Downey Jr. too.
David Mish has written a book about comedy. It's called Funny, the Book. Everything you always wanted to know about comedy.
There really is nothing that you would use to define drama that doesn't also define comedy. The same basic things of tension and resolution and surprise. And rhythm, all the things that play a role in drama play a role in comedy too. So the real question is, what gives it that a laugh at the end instead of a sob? And there's no real explanation for that, but there is an explanation for how funny works.
Liberty Larson is a fourth-generation magician. Her family founded the fame The Magic Castle in Hollywood. Does she think the role of women in magic is changing?
I believe it's changing a little bit. Usually women are the ones being in some way dismembered or disappeared or floated. But I absolutely think that there are quite a lot of young female magicians right now who are getting interested in the art form. And a lot of them are thinking about doing something very unique with it. So it's kind of nice to see.
And we have lots and lots and lots of stuff. And of course, an idiot of the day. The guest later, the person who told you this was show number 0142 was Zach Tepperman. A publicist for Lexicon PR in Los Angeles, Zach and the gang at Lexicon have been very helpful in helping to book guests for this very show, so we appreciate all the work they do. And thank you very much, Zach, for doing the slate on this edition of the Stuff File program. The Stuff File is also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Well, they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But not too many people are finding anything beautiful about 49-year-old artist Patricia Waller's latest exhibit. The concept artist from Berlin, Germany, has depicted an array of popular children's cartoon characters meeting some rather gruesome ends. For instance, SpongeBob SquarePants is depicted as a suicide bomber, while Winnie the Pooh is seen hanging with a noose around his neck. There's Minnie Mouse lying in a pool of blood, while Hello Kitty is about to commit hara-kiri with a sword at her chest. Waller said, "This show was about heroes and failure." Wow, what kind of childhood does she have? Heroes serve a role model function that reflects our longing for something special, but I wanted to show what happens when they fail. Angry parents say Waller should be ashamed, but gallery owner Simone Dressler said the exhibit is really popular. Well, I'm glad she's getting therapy through her art. And right about now, she's probably going to be hearing about copyright infringement from some very big corporations, especially Disney, because those people don't play. They're relentless. Anyway, we've heard about being hard-headed. Well, 33-year-old Jamie Calloway is God-headed. That is to say, she has the word God tattooed in large letters across her forehead. Well, she's now been arrested for stalking a female prison officer that she apparently took a liking to during a stretch in Montgomery County Jail in Maryland. Calloway allegedly slashed the woman's tires, called her at her home, and sent her packages through the mail. Yeah, that's love. Police had absolutely no trouble finding or identifying her thanks to the God tattoo and several distinguishing metal teeth. Yeah, she's a Butte. Ms. Calloway is also known on YouTube under the alias Jamie Godhead Platinum for posting videos of herself ranting and displaying verses of the Bible. Okay, I've seen her videos. Normally, I put links in on the Stuff File website, but no, I'm not even going to bother this time around. If you want to find it, go find it on your own. Because you know how they say there's someone for everyone? Well, trust me, in some cases, there really shouldn't be. A research ship has begun surveying the floor of the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Nova Scotia as a first step to build a $300 million private fiber optic line connecting New York and London financial markets. The project is to be completed by 2013, and this will speed up current transmission times by, wait for it, a whole 5 milliseconds. But wait, there's more time than you'd think in 5 milliseconds. According to a report in Bloomberg Businessweek, those 5 milliseconds will enable the small group of firms that are paying for the project and who will have exclusive use of it to earn millions of dollars per transmission by having their trade sales arrive 5 milliseconds sooner than their competitors' sales would have arrived. Well, okay, it's official. The world is moving too fast, and greed has no boundaries. Ever wonder what a giant panda's artificial insemination is like? Yeah, me neither. But whether you are interested or not, if you followed the National Zoo's Twitter feed recently in the United States, you got a tweet full and found out in startlingly vivid detail, tweet by tweet. The Washington, D.C. Zoo turned control of its Twitter feed over to Dave Wild, who is head of the Center for Species Survival, who live-tweeted the insemination of Mai Jing, a 13-year-old 230-pound panda, at the zoo. The graphic tweets even included pictures with the final tweet reading, "Mai doing great, and there's a sense of celebration and accomplishment in the air here." Yeah, we hope you learn something. Trust us, Doc. We did. And you know, because this story is out there now, someone will think that live tweeting artificial insemination will be a good idea for some human out there as well. Yes, as I said before, the world is now moving too fast. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Okay, here's this week's toast to irony. In Newton Township, Pennsylvania, for some reason, a man ironically chose the Bucks County Association for the Blind to expose himself. Unfortunately for her and him, there was a sighted woman working in the office at the time, and she did indeed get an eyeful. The pervy suspect did get away, but the witness described him as a skinny black man between 35 and 45 years old, about 5 foot 10 inches tall, and wearing a black tracksuit. Police combed the area but could not find anyone fitting that description. Wow, flashing the blind. This must be a shy pervert. Anyway, on to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. If you've ever had the chance to see comic Judy Tenuta either live or on television, then you know she has a most unique take on just about everything, and her accordion always seems to be nearby. Well, now she has a new book out. It's called Full Frontal Tenudity, and Judy is on the line with us right now from L.A. to talk about the book. Hi, Judy.
Hi!
I'm fine, and you?
Oh, I'm good, of course, because I am the goddess.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yes, I have a book coming out, Full Frontal Tenudity.
Do you ever go anywhere without the accordion? I have to know that.
Well, as I said, for a while, it was gone because It was left at the Betty Ford Clinic so that Chevy Chase could, you know, enjoy it for a while. And I think Robert Downey Jr. too.
Now,
yeah. Oh, yeah, they were having fun. Party, 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 party. The world was going this whole, you're getting kind of moody. It's time to listen to me, the goddess Judy. Cause I'm the queen of love and the princess of romance. Shake it up, Scooby-Doo, and party in your pants. Party in your pants, party in your pants. Never has there been such a sassy little dance. You can do it anywhere in any circumstance. Have yourself a big fat party in your
pants. Okay, so you're...
Get everything going.
Everything's going fine. I want to talk about your book, Full Frontal to Nudity, although I'm almost afraid to ask. What will one find between the covers of your book?
Well, it's actually three books in one. I have it's called a section called Judy's Hollywood to English Dictionary. And in it, I explain what certain phrases that are used continually really mean. You know, people say things to one another like, oh, let's be best friends forever. Code for we wave to each other on the red carpet. That's what that means in L.A.
Something tells me that you don't quite fit into L.A. like some other celebrities do. Would that be a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment. I'm always on time, and L.A. means, or on this side of the country means, I'll be 40 minutes late.
That must annoy you.
No, but that's how it is. No, you just know that when you're here. I have a three-picture deal means I live in a shopping cart. I'm not kidding you.
I believe you completely.
Yeah. So, you see, I explain it all, and there's pictures, a lot of great pictures to go with, and some drawings, you know.
Now, are there people in Hollywood who might be upset with you giving away the, you know, insider secrets?
Well, nobody's really ever compiled this. This is just something I thought of, because, you know, how people, oh, this is another one of my favorite ones is, you know, oh, my plate is so full. I just can't do that, you know. And yeah, meanwhile, you know, they're waiting in line for food stamps. Yeah, right.
Now,
it is so full, I couldn't possibly come with you to that party. Yeah, right.
Now, do you actually, I understand, you actually have also some recipes in your book. Is that true?
Yes, I call it, I call them snacks. I call them, sassy stoner snacks. I was told since I was little that I eat like a stoner, even though I'm not high. Although one would think that maybe by my act I am, you know. But... I have some great snacks here. You would especially appreciate them if you're high. But if you're not high, you would like them anyway.
Can you give us an example of what one of your favorite snacks would be?
Okay, here's one. For the trailer trash man boy, don your Daisy Duke short shorts. Do the two-step while making your love pig eats spam and eggs off your legs. Just like a younger, hotter Martha Stewart in prison with a sassy cellmate like Rachel Ray. Oh, well, I guess that would make you almost a coherent Jessica Simpson. Now, you should shout out a cheer like a Laker girl. We're having spam and eggs. It tastes so good on my legs. Spam and eggs are really neat. Spam and eggs are fun to eat. Spam and eggs just can't be beat. Hooray for spam and eggs. Spam and eggs is a really good snack.
You know what's really scary, Judy?
What? You eat that?
2 days ago, I had spam and eggs for breakfast.
Okay, you see what I'm saying? Did you have them off of some hot girl's legs? Probably not.
No, I did not.
Idea.
No, I did not. But that certainly is, in more ways than one, food for thought. So you mentioned three sections of the book. We talked about food. We talked about the other part. Now, what's the third part of the book?
The third part of the book is, well, and then I have other little things in there, like the most fun I had in the limo, little personal stories, travels of the goddess, The third section, though, is 40 ways to breed a love slave. For example, these are different things. These are different bits of advice if you want your guy, if you want to get a guy, really. I just say it more colorfully. You know, 40 ways to breed a love slave. So, never sleep with a guy on the first date unless he's Hugh Jackman or Ryan Reynolds. A man has to be teased into pursuing you. No matter how horny you are for him, do not submit to that, or you'll just be a notch on his belt. My friend Trina was always bringing guys over to her place for an after-dinner drink, which turned into a makeout session on her Shea Lounge. Ladies, you must never do the Shea-ing. The pig must chase you.
Those are definitely words to live by.
Yes. I know what I'm talking about.
Now, are you talking, as far as this book is concerned, are you guiding it toward the younger woman, the more mature woman? Who do you see your basic audience as being? And, most importantly, are guys allowed to read it?
Oh, my God, so many guys will want to read it, especially, hello, men who are sort of like women anyway, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay, so... Since you put that out there, what about straight guys? Can straight guys learn a thing or two from your book?
I would love it if they would read it. They need to know the secret. Yes.
So you're just...
Okay, here's another one. Do not compliment this pig too much, especially if he's hot. Do the Yoko Ono. Act like you're unimpressed, then he'll work to win you over. Men need a quest like Don Quixote fighting windmills and wizards. Wizards like Charlie Sheen.
You know, I've had the chance to see you perform live on several occasions when you've come to Montreal for Just for Laughs. I've actually had you spit gum in my direction, but
you've been blessed by the goddess.
Yes, I have, and I can always say without a doubt that watching you on stage or talking to you right now, it is always an unexpected treat.
Oh, thank you so much, Sunsicle. let's see if there's something else that I can, a quick thing that I can read from my book. Should I have it?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Let's see. Here's an actual goddess stuffed shroom. Two slices of white bread, or if you have to be healthy, use fake whole wheat bread, 24 large white mushrooms, and a stick of butter, because butter's better on everything. Anyway, to set the mood, play one of my videos, like Hot Bronco and Spike It, or one of my albums, Buy This Again, Pigs. Then drink a half a glass of white wine or apple juice, if you're in AA. Then preheat the oven to 375, cut the stems off the shrooms, cut off dried, icky stems, and dispose. Okay, then I just type, pretend you are mommy dearest and go mental and tear the bread into very small pieces, and then add two sautéed stems.
And no need for any wire hangers?
No need for any wire hangers unless you want to use them to stir.
The book.
You could do that.
The book is called Full Frontal Tenudity. People can check out Judy's website at judytenuda.com. Judy, I thank you very much for being on the program with us.
Oh, thank you. Oh, keep Montreal nice and sassy for me. I'm going to go up there. I like old Montreal.
And old Montreal loves you.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I'll see you there. I will definitely be in a love slave drawn carriage.
Comic Judy Tenuda. I think I lost control of that interview when I said hello. Her book is called Full Frontal Tenudity, and you can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0142, and you'll find links to Judy's website.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook.
There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander Show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of the Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Pay very close attention. There could be a test later.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to the author of Funny, the book. And we'll also talk to Liberty Larson, who is a fourth-generation magician. And she'll discuss, among other things, women in magic. Plus, of course, we have an idiot of the day. Stick around for that. On the Stuff File program, also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, you can get Stitcher by going to Stitcher.com or in any app store, and you can download it, and you can hear a plethora, a host of programs, over 5,000 programs on Stitcher.com. Stitcher Radio, Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Back to the Stuff File news here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. A Polish rapper had a giant sculpture of a dog's feces installed in a patch of grass to remind residents to pick up after their pets. Yeah, that'll work. Lukasz Rostkowski, age 30, a.k.a. L-U-C, had the bronze statue installed on a patch of grass next to Dominican Square in the southwestern city of Wrocław. Rostkowski says he hopes the statue will serve as a reminder to locals to clean up after their dogs. He says every year dog messes pop up quicker than snowdrops. Yeah. Our action is a bit of fun, he said. Yeah. And I'm also assuming, like, snowflakes, each dropping is unique. California police have arrested Tyrone Shelton at San Francisco General Hospital psychiatric ward on his 36th birthday after he allegedly tore out the eyeball of his 61-year-old roommate. The two men lived at a skilled nursing facility in Vallejo. Tempers flared and a fight broke out because one of the men was apparently playing his radio too loud for the other. Police said the victim suffered from severe swelling around his eyes to begin with, so at first officers didn't realize that he was missing an eye. Now, having been on the radio for all of my adult life, over 30 years, I've always known the medium is one that can be captivating and compelling, but rarely is it eye-popping. Okay, looking for a little keepsake to remember Osama bin Laden by? A contractor hired by the Pakistan government to remove the rubble of the terrorist's former hideaway is selling thousands of bricks from the demolished three-story compound in Abbottabad for only 5 cents each. Shaquille Ahmed, who, fearing retribution, travels with a bodyguard, is selling the bricks as souvenirs. Ever since word spread, Pakistanis have been showing up to buy themselves a wicked piece of history. Any leftover bricks, says Ahmed, will be sold at auction. Wow. And he's not even selling them online. Isn't that something? Which reminds me, aren't you glad we didn't have eBay when Hitler died? Okay, next time a disaster strikes and you want to know how bad things are, why don't you just call the Waffle House? FEMA does. No kidding. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has developed an unofficial color-coded Waffle House Index to help make assessments before sending response teams to areas hit by such natural disasters as tornadoes, floods, or hurricanes. Will Boer, who of Florida's Division of Emergency Management, explained that when businesses like Waffle House are closed, that's a good indication that resources are probably going to be needed for the survivors in that area. After a disaster, officials call a restaurant in the affected area and ask what's on the menu. If the restaurant is serving everything, it means there is water and electricity and that the index is green. If the menu has been scaled back, the index is yellow, which means there's water but no power. In the rare event a Waffle House is completely shut down, the index is red, and that usually means there's big trouble. Current FEMA director Craig Fugate came up with the Waffle House Index during his 8 years responding to hurricanes as the head of Florida's Division of Emergency Management. Waffle House CEO Walt Amer said, "I guess our reputation has been that if we're able to get back open, things might be bad, but they're not horrible. Plus, with 1,600-plus restaurants, there's usually a Waffle House just about everywhere." Now, I'm torn between this concept thinking as either being the dumbest governmental idea I've ever heard or pure genius. It's one or the other. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, an elephant named Shanti at the Smithsonian's National Zoo not only plays a harmonica with her trunk, but appears to love doing it. Video released by the zoo in Washington shows the 36-year-old Asian elephant has a harmonica attached to her stall and plays tunes even when no humans are within view. Elephant keeper Debbie Flinkman said Shanti is musically inclined, playing her own songs that always have a big crescendo at the end. She'll play for several minutes at a time, exhaling to play a pattern, then inhaling for a different sound and moving to another end of the harmonica for a different note. Shanti was a gift from Sri Lanka back in 1976 and is the mother of the zoo's 10-year-old calf, Kandula. Well, it could be worse. She could like the bagpipes. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. So, just what is funny? Well, lucky for us, there is a book that will answer that question. It's called Funny, the Book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Comedy. It's written by David Misch, who spent years as a stand-up and also as a writer on such TV shows as Mork and Mindy and Saturday Night Live. And David joins us on the line from California. Hi, David.
Hi there.
Thanks for being on the program with us.
My pleasure.
Do you...
I mean, it has been so far, anyway.
Do you get any flack or... because, you know, comedy is like any art. It's in the eye of the beholder. By writing a so-called definitive book, Funny, the Book, are you getting any flack from people saying, hey, wait a minute?
Well, if you mean like death threats or poop in a bag flaming on my front porch, then yes, I guess I have gotten a little flack. The good thing is that I admit up front, and only because it's so obvious, that I don't know what you will find funny. I know what I find funny, and that's not even in the book. The book is not about personal taste, because that is something that cannot be dissected. What can be dissected is the art of comedy, of how comedy people can make other people laugh. What you can't do is get specific. And, in fact, one of the things the book talks about is that, as I discovered in writing it, there really is nothing that you would use to define drama that doesn't also define comedy. The same basic things of tension and resolution and surprise and rhythm, all the things that play a role in drama play a role in comedy, too. So the real question is, what gives it that a laugh at the end instead of a sob? And there's no real explanation for that. but there is an explanation for how funny works.
Okay, so as a so-called blueprint for comedy, has that changed over the years, or is the basic equation always the same, or has always been the same?
Yeah, I think the basic equation has to be the same, because the human mind and heart are more or less the same over even thousands of years. There are a lot of changes within the specifics. I mean, Judd Apatow is mining a different vein of humor than did Frank Capra, a famous director in the 40s, a movie comedy director, and vaudeville in the 20s and 30s. Obviously, things that they did then are not funny to us now, and things we do now, they would probably die of heart attacks upon hearing. In fact, you know, we've moved from pie throwing in the 20s to semen in people's various body parts in the 10s, and that's, you can make a judgment about whether that's better or worse, but by gosh, it's different.
It's always interesting to me that some people tend to think that comedy is just too mean-spirited and that there's always somebody that is, quote-unquote, the butt of the joke. But in reality, with the exception of maybe knock-knock jokes, isn't someone always the butt of a joke, even if you go back in time from someone slipping on a banana peel to a pie in the face to what we see as comedy today?
Yeah, absolutely. And Freud was one of the people who said that comedy is aggression. And that, therefore, it's, you know, he didn't actually make a value judgment about that. But if you go back further, Aristotle and Plato condemned comedy for that reason. And a philosopher named Thomas Hobbes said that people who laugh at the misfortunes of others, which is pretty much anyone who laughs at comedy, are showing their basic immoral nature, their failing as a human being. And in Plato's The Republic, which was his idealized version of a city-state, he said that he would ban laughter. You would not be allowed to laugh. And many ecclesiastical orders in the Middle Ages also forbid people to laugh because they felt it was disrespectful, which it is. And that's part of its charm.
We now live in a world that is, for lack of a better term, extremely politically correct. Does that pose a threat to comedy?
It's actually the opposite. It's fodder. It's, shall I say, the manure from which comedy grows. I mean, whenever there's things that we're not supposed to talk about, that's where comedy, you know, gets its head of steam. So it's really a great thing. You know, I think it varies, too. It depends on the country, the city, the type of people who go into a place to hear comedy. You know, there are a lot of comedy clubs where I live in L.A. where it would be very difficult to discern a strain of political correctness, but there are other places in other parts of the country and the world that will certainly reject comedy that is done a certain way. So, you know, comics have to have a sort of thermometer out there. They have to get a feel of the room, they get a feel of the area. And many comics, when they come to a town, you know, they try and talk to some people and get a sense of what's going to play or not, because you have to aim it at your audience.
One other equation I've often heard is that comedy is tragedy plus time. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's not so much a definition of comedy as a recognition of a phenomenon, which is that, you know, something that was horrible one day is funny when you have enough distance from it. And distance is critical to comedy. Standing back and looking at something is how you see it as funny rather than as tragic or as heart-rending. I remember when the NASA spaceship that blew up was, within, I would say, 10 minutes, my phone rang and someone said, "What does NASA stand for? Need another 7 astronauts."
Mm.
And these people had just been killed, and this joke was flying around everywhere. Now, another way of looking at that is that we use humor to buffer ourselves from pain. And really the crucible of that particular idea came on September 12th, 2011, when many people in the comedy industry, you know, felt and said that comedy was dead. And there were a number of things that happened over the next week or so. Jon Stewart came back. He was off the air for a while, and he came back, and There's a famous anecdote about Gilbert Gottfried telling the dirtiest joke in the world at a roast just a few later, that somehow was a major thing in breaking the ice. But humans can't live without laughter. And tragedy is not only ultimately not a damper to humor, it is critical that humor uses tragedy. It's critical that humor fight tragedy. I remember also The Onion, the famous satirical newspaper, after 9/11 had their headline, God angrily clarifies don't kill rule. So finding some light way to look at it, even if like in that headline there's a sort of, you know, edge and a little bit of anger in it, is critical to our ability to survive, which is what humor is really about. Humor is about how we get through this incredibly difficult thing we call living.
The space shuttle you were referring to, the Challenger disaster, from firsthand experience, let you know that one thing that happens whenever there's a tragedy of some kind is a certain gallows humor in newsrooms.
Yeah.
So I was in a newsroom that day. The jokes were going, minutes, literally minutes after that explosion took place on television. So I know exactly what you're talking about there. Who exactly?
Let me just say, you know, what's really, really interesting about that is that you guys needed it more than the general public because you were supposed to do a job. You weren't allowed to sit back and say, oh, my God, what just happened? You had to do a job, and I think it was critical to use humor to inure yourselves to what you had to do, like a soldier going into battle. You have to be able to concentrate. You can't sit back and just feel horrible, and joking about it is a way to allow yourself to move forward.
Who exactly did you write the book for? Who did you see as your primary audience?
Well, I love my wife, and I certainly hope she buys a copy. I'm hoping everyone. The idea is that, you know, most people are interested in the phenomenon of humor. And, of course, the book is not simply about humor as an art form. It also talks about the Marx Brothers and Richard Pryor, Steve Martin, and Woody Allen people and how they achieved what they achieved. And it talks about, the importance of jokes and where humor comes from biologically, scientifically. But, yeah, my idea is that it's really for everyone. At least I hope just if even almost everyone, if 90% of the people in the world bought it, I'd be happy with that.
One last question. In light of a recent film that just came out, the new Three Stooges movie, I have to ask this question. Do women see humor differently than men?
Well, the saying goes, you know, first the saying goes in the world of comedy, and you who have worked with a lot of comedy and comedians know this, that women aren't funny. I think that has been pretty clearly put to rest, although a lot of people cling to it like many other myths out of comfort. But when pressed about why that is, the people who believe it will say they just don't respond to the four comedy food groups, which are verbal aggression, sex, violence, and body functions. The women just don't like dealing with those things. I think that's ridiculous. Now, it is true that the vast majority of comedians have been and still are male, but as with so many other professions which are skewed in one direction, I think the answer for that is more how society has trained women to be and expects women to be rather than the fact that women are not funny. I do think women's sense of humor does differ, and I think probably fewer women find the Three Stooges funny than men. By the way, I went on opening day. I had to, right? And the theater I was in was pretty mixed. There were young, old, men, women, and it was a good movie, I thought.
And more fodder maybe for a future book. The current book is called Funny, the Book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Comedy. And David, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Thank you.
David Misch, author of Funny, the Book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Comedy. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0142, and you'll find links to David's website. The book, by the way, comes out on June the 5th, but you can also go to links at amazon.com and amazon.ca, where you can pre-order the book directly. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
And Bob DiRigo Jones. And this is Let's Be Fair. I'd like you to meet a 14-year-old girl from Georgia. I don't often mention names on radio, but she believes that by being identified, she can help stop the growing problem of cyberbullying. You see, Alex Boston learned about a year ago that some of her classmates created a phony Facebook page in her name. Then they made it look like she was doing some pretty bad things, like smoking marijuana and posting obscene comments on other friends' pages. She was understandably upset. So she notified Facebook, her school, and even the police. But the police said current laws limit what they can do, so the bullying continued. That's when she decided to sue her classmates for libel. Let's be fair, even though I believe lawsuits should be avoided at all costs, sometimes they're the only option. So, parents beware. Until laws are strengthened, more victims of cyberbullying will likely be asking the courts to decide when free speech has gone too far and to stop defamation on the internet. Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamerica.org.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Viewer discretion is advised. But then again, why are you staring at a radio program?
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to magician Liberty Larson. Plus, of course, there is an idiot of the day. Stick around for that. But right now, more Stuff File news for your listening pleasure. Clarence Brumfield, age 54, was invited to his former girlfriend's house in Alton, Illinois, for a barbecue. He probably shouldn't have brought a guest with him, his current girlfriend. Police, are a bit unclear about the details, but officers said his old girlfriend took exception and stabbed Brumfield repeatedly with a barbecue fork. He suffered injuries to his upper right chest, his right biceps, and right shoulder blade area, a police detective said. Brumfield was taken to hospital for treatment. Yep. As far as the girlfriend is concerned, stick a fork in him, he's done. And, you know, marriage is a sacred institution, so let's share a couple of stories on wedded bliss or the lack thereof, shall we? Story number one. A federal court magistrate in Melbourne, Australia, decided to split a divorcing couple's assets in half in February after listening to tedious details about their 20-year marriage. The couple, and I'm doing air quotes here, lived apart except for vacations and kept their finances separate, constantly invoicing each other for amounts as trifling as $1.60 for a light bulb. That wasn't a divorce case, that was a demerger. And story number two, though many Americans act as though they are in love with themselves, only Nadine Schweigert became an honest woman. She married herself in March in front of 45 family members and friends in Fargo, North Dakota, vowing to, quote, enjoy inhabiting my own life and to relish a lifelong love affair with my beautiful self. And then she went off on a solo honeymoon. Seriously? She managed to get 45 family members and friends to go along with her delusion? Wow. Can you imagine the catty, gossipy, drive-home conversations those folks must have had after leaving that wedding? Did they bring gifts, by the way? And was she registered somewhere? I bet she got a lot of vibrators. No toaster ovens, just a lot of... Anyway, let's move along, shall we? In Akron, Ohio, a 35-year-old sheriff's deputy has been fired for ordering five jail inmates to dance to a song by Usher in exchange for privileges such as using a telephone or a microwave. The Summit County Sheriff fired this idiot last week for mistreating inmates, acting inappropriately, and having a cell phone in the jail, apparently used to play the music. The deputy apparently invited colleagues to watch as one inmate reportedly did the worm, while another said he did the robot so he could use the phone to contact relatives after a family member's death. Investigators say the deputy admitted his mistake, but said he was only trying to ease tension in the jail. Does anybody out there remember the chain gang scene from the Mel Brooks movie Blazing Saddles? Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, shall we? Liberty Larson is a fourth-generation magician. Her grandparents and her great-uncle co-founded the famed The Magic Castle in Hollywood. Her great-grandfather established the Academy of Magical Arts. The Magic Castle is presenting Women in Magic Week from May the 7th to the 13th. Liberty is on the line with us right now from Los Angeles to talk about women in magic. Hi, Liberty.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, just tickety-boo. Thanks for being on the program with us. The idea of women in magic, you've been doing this for a while, even though you're relatively young. But what I want to know is, for starters, we don't normally get the chance to see women in the primary role when it comes to magic. They're usually assistants. Is that changing?
I believe it's changing a little bit, but you're absolutely right. Usually women are the ones being in some way dismembered or disappeared or floated. But yeah, I absolutely think that there are quite a lot of young female magicians right now who are getting interested in the art form, and a lot of them are thinking about doing something very unique with it, so it's kind of nice to see.
Now, you have a heritage, you have a background in this, but besides that family business aspect, what for you is the lure to magic?
Oh, absolutely the feeling that you can give people if you're good at it. If you've done your job, then people are incredibly excited or have this sort of feeling of wonder that is, or mystery. If you can give someone a really good mystery, and it's just the most wonderful feeling.
As someone like yourself who's involved in the industry, what's it like for you seeing other magicians? Do you get to enjoy it as much, having the knowledge and background that you have, as opposed to the general population, or is it a kind of been there, done that kind of thing, or are you wowed by other people's magical talents?
Oh, you know, I've been watching it since I was very small, and I have always been the kind of person who does not want to know how it's done. So I don't know how the majority of magic is done, and I like it that way. So I'm absolutely impressed and wowed and have the same reactions a lot of the time.
I mentioned your lineage. Your grandparents were Bill and Irene Larson. Your great uncle was Milt Larson, who co-founded the Magic Castle. And I mentioned your great grandfather, William Larson Sr., who established the Academy of Magical Arts. Is that still around?
Yes, actually, the Magic Castle is the base of operations for the Academy of Magical Arts. So that is sort of where they reside.
And what happens at the Academy? Are people actually taught to be magicians?
Absolutely. Yeah, there are all kinds of classes. It's basically a private club. That was my great-grandfather's dream. He started the academy, and he always wanted to have a home for it, a place where people could actually physically go to learn from each other and all of that. And so that's what the Magic Castle is. There's room for non-magician members, and they can come and use it as a club and a restaurant and a bar and a theater. But for the magicians, it's an entirely different place because you have access to the library, you have classes and lectures, you have this thriving community of people you can talk to. So it's just wonderful.
And I understand there are like 6,000 members?
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yes, I mean, people love it. It's a very special place. It's very, I think it charms people.
So I mentioned in the introduction that Women in Magic Week is taking place the 7th through the 13th. What exactly is going to be happening during, and it's the first ever Women in Magic Week, correct?
Actually, it's going to be in, there are 5 different rooms that have magic in the Magic Castle, and there are going to be women in every room. So yes, there's a close-up gallery, there's a parlor, there's a Teller project, there's Hat in the Hair, which is improvisational magic. And then there's the Palace of Mystery, which is the large showroom, and that's the one I'm in. And there are going to be 4 different performers in the Palace of Mystery, but it's all sort of wrapped in this homage to my great-grandmother, Jerry Larson, who was William Larson Sr.'s wife. And she had a television show in the 1950s called The Magic Lady. She was the first woman to have her own local television show. And so we're doing a tribute to that, and I'm sort of going to be paying tribute to her. I get to do one of her signature tricks, and we've gotten a hold of her original dress and her original magic wand. So, pretty amazing.
Now,
it's in such great condition.
We mentioned your grandparents. We mentioned your great-grandfather and your great-uncle. What about your parents? Were they involved in magic as well?
Yes, my mother. This is also my mother's side, so she's the one who's been very much involved. She's right now the vice president on the board of directors at the Magic Castle. And she was also the editor of Genie Magazine for years, which was the magazine that my great-grandfather started in 1936. And that's a Conjurers magazine, international.
So how old were you, and I know magicians don't like them to be called tricks. You like the word illusions, right?
Yes.
Okay. So how old were you when you learned your first illusion?
Oh, let's see. I think I must have learned like a finger chopper or some very small trick when I was about 4 or 5.
You must have terrified a teacher or two in school while growing up.
Yes, absolutely. In many ways, yes.
A little while ago, we heard the fact that there was a fire at the Magic Castle. How has that been all taken care of? I know there wasn't too much damage, but how's the place been repaired?
It's been actually, paradoxically, a wonderful thing because it's caused us to... Nothing historic was damaged except for one ceiling. And so it was... Everything's pretty much intact, but it sort of brought the whole place to life because we had to renovate a lot of stuff. We got entirely new carpet, and it's a lot more open now, and it's pretty amazing. But the crazy thing about the fire is that it was the week of Halloween, and the Magic Castle, the theme of that week was Inferno Week at the Magic Castle, and there were paintings of little mischievous fire spirits all over the castle that week. And the website said the Magic Castle will be on fire this week with the spirit of Halloween. And the fire was started exactly 85 years within the hour of Houdini's death. And the only room in the place that was damaged by the inferno of Inferno Week was a room that we call the Dante Room, which is made, it's an homage to a famous magician named Dante. So it was a pretty interesting fire in terms of synchronicity.
Now, doesn't that creep you out just a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. It's wonderful. Yes, it's very creepy. It's very, but it's par for the course with places that are haunted, you know?
There's been an ebb and flow over the years when it comes to magic acts. They rise and fall in popularity through time. Nowadays, with the advent of the internet and social media, would you consider this a new renaissance, a new heyday of magic?
Absolutely. There are amazing things happening in magic right now, and people are doing very unique things. And in a way, you know, it's a renaissance, but what's also beautiful to see is people really hearkening back to, you know, about a century ago, very classical, theatrical, grand, you know, magic or parlor magic or Victorian style magic is being explored. And that's really awesome to see, too. So it's kind of cool. It's the past and the future.
Well, we wish you and all the other ladies great success as the Magic Castle celebrates Women in Magic Week, May 7th to the 13th. And people can find out more information by going to the Magic Castle's website, correct?
That's right, magiccastle.org.
Excellent. Thank you very much for being on the program with us, Liberty.
Thank you.
Magician Liberty Larson. You can find out more about Women in Magic Week by going to the Magic Castle's website, and you'll find their website by going to thestufffile.com. Click on the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0142, and follow the links. It's like magic. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
Here's a pro tip. Sunbathing in general is not a good idea. Sunbathing in the middle of the road, even with SPF 90, is decidedly a very bad move. In Beaver County, Pennsylvania, Samantha Shermanhorn and Kaylee George, both just 13, inexplicably were sunbathing in the middle of Donald Avenue. The girls fell asleep and then were struck by a car. Oh, it gets worse. The driver of the car was a 19-year-old cousin. Witnesses say the driver stopped at a stop sign before making a turn and hitting the two girls. 911 was called and helicopters airlifted them to the hospital. Both girls were conscious when paramedics arrived. The driver was questioned by police after the crash, but they ruled it as just an accident. Why would someone want to go and tan in the middle of the street? One reason, and one reason only, they're idiots!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0142. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. And on the website, you'll find information on links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0142. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder. And don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Media and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. No animals were harmed in the production of this program, except, of course, the tasty ones. Good night and pass the paprika.